Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up now.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the show, your best audio of the day. And that includes in soundcheck, Mraz getting a solo hosting gig on WFAN over the weekend and getting pranked while doing so. Also, in 40 minutes, you know, we poke fun in a Meat on the Bone segment regularly at the Peter Schwartz situation. Schwartz was our longtime update anchor when we were doing overnights. And Schwartz has quite a few idiosyncrasies, the biggest of which is that he just desires a never-ending funnel of free stuff. And whatever it costs to go get that free stuff, he will pay. That is the great perplexing dynamic behind it. If he has to drive halfway across the country to go get a free T-shirt, he will do so, not realizing you just spent all of that money plus more in gas. Don't you realize that, Pete? He just needs something for free. He has to get it. Without that, it's like living without oxygen. Something for free gives him life. It gives him that life force deep within that big old belly of his. But we poke fun in, you know, friendly, good-natured fashion, because ultimately Pete was a member of this show, and we all still, friend might be a strong word, but I think Mraz is friends with Pete. But he's getting some heat on the block. He's getting some media heat, like media on media crime, and this took a dark turn over the weekend. So we're going to get to that coming up in 40 minutes, because, whoa, we were just joking. There's other people that are not joking. Ugly. Also, Adam Rank in 2 hours is going to join us. NFL Network, NFL.com. Very funny guy. Really good football mind. We'll talk to him about the Aaron Rodgers situation and his beloved Bears finally getting themselves a quarterback. But first, some NBA. As the Knicks were on a long road trip, West Coast swing, trying to hold on to this spot atop or aside from the NFL, from the NBA play-in tournament. I'm going to reestablish this because I think it's kind of confusing. But 1 week to go in the NBA regular season, and if you are in the 7 through 10 holes, you got problems. Here's why. 1 through 6 in the NBA seeding, that's it. You were established. You're in to the first round of the postseason. No questions asked. 7, 8, 9, 10 will play a mini tournament, if you will. Here's how. 7 plays 8. One game. Winner gets into the tournament. Winner gets in to the playoffs. 7 plays 8. 9 plays 10. Loser in that out of the tournament, out of the playoffs. 7 plays 8, winner in. 9 plays 10, loser out. Then loser of 7-8 takes on winner of 9-10. Winner gets the 8 seed. That's how we're establishing, like last year, the final 2 slots in the NBA's playoffs. Well, the Knicks do not want to be anywhere close to that line. And right now, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Heat, and the Celtics are all kind of bunched up right around there. The Knicks had not won at Staples Center in 8 tries. The Knicks have not made the playoffs in 7 years. So being in that 7-8-9-10 realm is dicey, choppy waters for anybody. The Knicks going to Staples Center, playing the Clippers, 1 week to go by the end of the regular season, had the makings of, uh-oh, this is too close for comfort. And yet here are the Knicks behind Derrick Rose's unbelievable 25 points off the bench, getting a crucial victory over the Clippers, 106-100. Couple of things here. Number one, for the bellyaching that's been done about the NBA's playoff seeding in this mini tournament and your 7-10 teams, Luka has complained, Mark Cuban has complained, LeBron said whoever came up with this should be fired. Guess what? It's done everything the NBA intended. It's made the bottom 2 rungs, the bottom 2 slots of the playoffs, interesting. All of these teams are like, oh, we don't want to be in the 7 slot. Oh, we don't want to be in the 8 slot. We got to win. And so a game like yesterday between the Knicks and the Clippers, where you would say, well, both those teams are going to make the playoffs anyway, so what's the big deal, has extra emphasis, has extra oomph. Teams don't want the 7 or the 8 slot. They don't want to have to play in that play-in. And that's exactly what the NBA is looking for. They're looking for fewer teams and fewer stars that just take their foot off the gas and rest late in the season because they know they're in the playoffs. And they also want late regular season games to feel like they matter, because so often the 7 or the 8 seed has just been chum in the water for the top 2 slots, the top 2 seeds of the playoffs, that if you make the 7 or the 8, it's like, oh, well, now you're really gunning to be the 7 or the 8 because it means that you've been in or around the playoff bubble, or you're trying to avoid the 7 or the 8 so that you're not chum in the water. So it works on a lot of different levels. Look, the NBA wanted to make more regular season games more significant, and that's what this is doing. For the Knicks, it puts them right at the precipice of getting to avoid that 7-8-9-10 situation. And guess who's in it? The Celtics. And the Celtics have had this kind of completely bizarre season where they've seemingly been healthy and they've seemingly played together enough, and we've seemingly seen a certain growth again from Tatum and Brown, and seemingly at times they can play great basketball. But yet you look up, there's a week left to go in the regular season, and they're only 2 games over 500, and they're right now 2 games under that 6th slot and going to play in this play-in tournament. Yikes. So the Knicks right now are holding on to the 4 spot in the East. The Hawks are the 5, the Heat are the 6, and the Hawks and Heat are tied just 1 game behind the Knicks. So these games are important for all of them. The Clippers come into this game as one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the NBA, and the Knicks just break them defensively around the perimeter. They were just 12 of 35. Rose off the bench. Yes, that Derrick Rose goes for 25 points, and Reggie Bullock adds 24 for the Knicks in a big victory. It's the tale of 2 teams here. The first team is the Knicks. And for all of us, including myself, that thought that the early season success was absolutely going to lead to late season swoon, that a Tom Thibodeau coach team was going to grind you down, end up expending a lot of energy early, empty the tank early, and then fade down the stretch, because let's face it, the Knicks are not the most talented team out there. and that the Julius Randle story was a nice story. It was a cute story, but ultimately was going to fade as well. That has not happened. Tom Thibodeau has absolutely changed the expectation, changed the work rate, changed the professionalism, and changed everything about the Knicks. Thibodeau has been absolutely phenomenal. And the Knicks play with a vigor and an energy and a commitment every night that we have not seen in the Knicks maybe since the Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy years. I'm telling you, they made the playoffs with Carmelo and Amari. But not only was that 8 years ago now, they missed the playoffs seven straight times. This will be the eighth year since then. But those teams were really talented. I'm not sure those teams came to work every day. Those teams were good. I'm not sure that they came, they gave everything they had, spilled the bucket, if you will, every single night. And this team does because they're not the most talented. And because they have a guy in Julius Randle who has outplayed and outperformed all of the expectations to prove that he belongs in the conversation, not as MVP because he's not an MVP caliber type player, but in terms of an all-star and a guy that can carry a team. It's been really impressive, really, really impressive to see this turnaround for the Knicks, who are always a joke and are always a punchline and are always a team with dysfunction and lack of effort and no direction and always something going on. And they are not that right now. They're not that at all. And that's really impressive. So for the Knicks, they have earned that playoff slot. They've earned not having to play in those 7, 8, 9, 10 spots. And if they are ending, if they end up as the 4 or the 5, as long as they stay out of that 6 or 7 range, because the 6 is going to take on the Bucks, and you don't want to take on the Bucks in a 3-6. You're not going to make it out of that first round, but you can win a 4-5. This Knicks team can beat the Hawks in the opening round. They can beat the Heat in the opening round. And what would it mean for the Knicks organization to be able to play in the second round of the playoffs? It would be a huge, huge growth step. So very impressive from the Knicks. I mean, the fact that you can get a 25-point night out of Derrick Rose these days is incredible. And the fact that they're the 4 seed is incredible. And the fact that they are 8 games over .500 is incredible. And everything about that story is pretty damn incredible. The flip side is the Clippers. And in the Western Conference, the Clippers are right now the 3 seed. And they better not mess around because they could fall to the 4 seed. Right now, the Clippers are only a game up on the Nuggets, and the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray. If the Clippers, with Kawhi and Paul George on that roster, can't hold off a Nuggets team that lost its second best player for the 4 seed, there's a real problem here. And the Clippers right now have lost 4 of their last 10 games. They're 6-4 coming down the stretch here in their last 10. For the Clippers, who have always had to endure this, yeah, but, they're fine, they're good, they're talented, yeah, but in the playoffs, they're not going to go very far. And last year, watching them fritter away a 3-1 series lead, once again makes you pause and say, can you believe them in the postseason? And now they have a home game against a weary team that's been on the road for a while in a West Coast swing, late in the season, a week to go, and suddenly the shooting goes away and they can't win on the home floor against the Knicks. And it makes you wonder, are we looking at a Clippers team that is once again going to fizzle when it matters most? It's a question that deserves asking. It's a question that makes you pause and say you want to believe that Paul George has taken that step this year and wants to kind of bury what happened last season. It makes you want to believe that Kawhi Leonard is that ultimate playoff competitor. It makes you want to believe that a coaching change at the top has changed their expectations and their dynamic. But it makes you wonder if that's actually real or if we're just talking ourselves into it. You know, before this, the Clippers had won a pair of games in a row against the Raptors and the Lakers. Not exactly champions right now, considering all of the injuries that both teams have suffered. The Raptors, a lost season. But before those two wins, they had lost 3 games in a row, including against the Suns, a team ahead of them in the standings in the West, and the Nuggets, who are chasing them for that 3 seed. I do think you have to have pause in the Clippers. I do think every time you want to believe and you want to buy in, they give you a reason to say, yeah. And yesterday, I will say, is more about the Knicks showing that grit and that hustle. But at the same time, that's a game that's going to be a playoff caliber game on your home floor in a big situation to avoid dropping in the standings. And the Clippers couldn't get it done. I think yesterday was more about the Knicks, but there has to be a concern about the Clippers having lost 4 of their last 6 games. Whereas yesterday, more about the Clippers or the Knicks?
It's probably a little offensive to the Knicks to say it's not about them, because that's an enormous win on the road, obviously, for them at Staples Center to be led by Derrick Rose, who now probably has to become their starting point guard. But the Knicks, at least we don't have expectations, and we're talking about what? We know they can't get out of round 2, but this is a great story. The Clippers have real NBA Finals expectations, and it almost feels like because they fizzled last year, we don't necessarily remember that or realize that, despite the great year they had getting up to the 3 seed. But with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and that combo, that duo, especially with the Lakers ailing and LeBron not being healthy, Anthony Davis just coming back, and then you throw in the Jamal Murray injury, it kind of feels like the Clippers really, all right, let's poke through and get through here. And like you mentioned, 4 out of 6, not having any answers here for Derrick Rose down the stretch in a big afternoon game at home, knowing all eyes are on them a week out of a playoff test. I am seeing the same signs out of the Clippers that we saw in the bubble and their playoff exit last year that make you go, whew, maybe this wasn't Doc Rivers' fault, by the way, as the Sixers are cruising to a 1 seed in Philadelphia. So, look, yesterday might be about the Knicks and might be insulting to them not to say it's about the Knicks, but there are real warning signs here about the Clippers again ahead of the playoffs.
I never thought it was about Doc Rivers, but I do think sometimes you just need a difference in opinion, a difference in voice, a different leader. And so I think maybe for the Clippers, it was always so reductive to just blame Doc for those collapses, but maybe they did need a change. You're right, Doc has been excellent in Philadelphia. And we'll see if the difference in the coach makes a difference in the postseason. The West ends up being absolutely fascinating with a week to go in the regular season, because the Jazz are the 1 seed, up by 2 on the Suns. The Suns are the 2 seed, 3 games up on the Clippers. And so you really know who the 1 of the 2 is going to be, Jazz, Suns. But neither one of those two teams are kings of the playoffs. You can't say that those guys, those two teams, are venerable playoff teams that have proven it before, so they're unproven in the postseason. Then you get the Clippers, who always have the stigma of being the Clippers. Then you have the Nuggets, who again are trying to build a culture of being there every year, but are going to have to do it without Jamal Murray. Then you have the Mavericks, again, a young team. You have the Blazers, who are kind of flirting with going into that play-in tournament. The Lakers are trying to avoid the play-in tournament, but if the Lakers have LeBron and AD healthy, who knows what their potential is? And then the Warriors, Grizzlies, and Spurs are trying to fight their way in as well. There really is no guarantees in the West. There really is no you can just pencil this in for happening, which is going to make for a lot of really interesting and intriguing matchups and games once the postseason rolls around a little over a week from now. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. As we mentioned before, Mraz over the weekend had a chance to solo host on WFAN in New York and was delivered the goods, as any good solo host is, by getting a prank phone call. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember that you can listen to the DA show on your time. DA On Demand podcast form every single day. Full episodes, all 4 hours, are available, and the best of is available as well. So simply go to your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show, subscribe, rate, and review. That'll help other people find it as well. Well, coming into the season, the Dodgers were just going to run away with the National League West. The Dodgers were going to set the record for modern-day victories. The Dodgers, who had already become a freight train in recent years, then traded for Mookie Betts last year, won the World Series and added Trevor Bauer, couldn't be stopped. A farm system that just keeps churning out stars. The Dodgers could not be stopped. And some people thought that they would challenge the 2001 Seattle Mariners record for most wins by a modern team, and that this was going to be a team that won over 105 games, 110 wins, 112 wins, complete and utter freight train. Well, that has not happened. The Dodgers right now are only a game above 500. They have lost 8 of their last 10. They're in third place in their own division, and they've lost 15 of their last 20 games. They're 5-15. And Trevor Bauer, the guy that was supposed to make them unbeatable, says, this is not why I came to Los Angeles. Here's Bauer.
I'm pissed, personally. I freaking hate losing. I want to win. That's why I came here. It's just not, we're not playing up to our capability right now. So I'm mad. I'm not going to speak on behalf of anybody else.
I'm mad. P.O. It's not why I came. It's not why I came to Los Angeles. It's not why I faked going to the Mets and selling T-shirts on my website and then backtracked after my agent said, you know what, you should just take more money. Look, I'm sure that that team is grinding. They've got huge expectations. They came off of a World Series. But you know what? After you win a championship, yeah, it's hard to repeat, but you should also have a bit of the monkey off of your back. You should be able to play with more lightness and more freedom and more confidence. So it's a little bizarre that now they're really clutching and they're stressing. And for the Dodgers in a division that has a really good Padres team in it, you know, you don't just get to run away with things. The Giants have been a huge surprise out West. Right now, the Giants are actually leading the National League West. But it's just not a division that the Dodgers can kind of mess around and win by being, you know, five games over 500. So maybe that's part of the pressing as well. But every time that I heard of the offseason, the Dodgers are going to set this modern-day record for wins and projected wins, 108, 109, 110. I'm like, come on. When does that ever happen where a team just is set up to dominate and does? It almost never happens. And again, the Dodgers have been a recent National League West dynasty, but a lot like the Braves of the 90s and 2000s, they didn't have the hardware that would back up going to the playoffs every single year. Well, they finally got the World Series trophy last year, and look, deservedly so. But it's been a team that, for all of its talent, has, once we get into October, has had some questions. And this year, maybe those questions are rearing their ugly heads way earlier. It's only early May. It's only Mother's Day, so I'm sure they're going to be fine. And obviously, you have the wild card slots to make the playoffs as well. So the Dodgers ultimately will get where they want to go, getting to October, I'm sure. But man, you know, losing 15 of 20 is no joke. Meantime, Adam Thielen, Vikings wide receiver, goes on a podcast called The Golf Podcast and says, there's nothing special about Lambeau Field. Here's Thielen.
There's nothing better than leaving Lambeau with a victory. There's literally nothing better.
Like,
so,
what's that locker room like compared to what you have at Minnesota now?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, and the whole stadium's not nice. Yeah. You know, it's not, there's nothing fancy about it. Like, it's bleacher seats.
Bite your tongue, Adam Thielen. Bite your tongue. Yeah, you got a nice, brand new, beautiful stadium, no doubt about it. Gleaming, glass, modern, beautiful. But there is nothing wrong with bleacher seats. In fact, most of college football's bleacher seats. In fact, bleacher seats brings us back to being real fans before we had to have armrests. You know, in Lambeau, in Green Bay, if you get squeezed by a really chunky Packer fan wearing an old school Reggie White throwback, That's just what you got to deal with. All right, so maybe you got an elbow in your side with a guy crushing bratwursts and you got to smell his onion breath. But that's just the way that it's going to be. If you are rubbing up against some Packer Zubaz, that's just your deal. And that's what I love about Left Field. That's a real fan experience. Okay? That's what it's all about. Yeah, all right. You're going to have some guys wearing Robert Brooks jerseys from 1996. And yeah, they're going to have Cheese Whiz dripping off of their beards. And yeah, you're going to see that guy with the frozen snot in his mustache. He's going to be on top of you because, oh, I don't have my own seat. I don't have my own elbow rests. Who cares? Bite your tongue, Adam Thielen. For a franchise that hasn't been to a Super Bowl since the freaking 70s, you bite your tongue. Lambeau's a real experience. And finally, this is Mraz on Saturday, hosting on WFAN in New York. Now, Mraz was super excited about this. This was his childhood sports radio station. Finally got a chance to go on after a Yankee game, solo hosting. This was big. And here is Mraz taking a very interesting phone call.
Bobby in Louisiana on the fan. Bobby, what's going on?
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's right.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bobby.
That was it?
This is where I wanted you guys to hammer me. I froze and didn't have fun with it. I froze and
Well, what happened after that?
I went right to another caller because my palms were sweating and I didn't know what was going on.
Wow! Deer in the headlights?
Complete deer in the headlights. And I didn't even put two and two together until later on. Oh, Bobby in Louisiana means Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy. I was an honest man. I put this in here for you guys to hammer me because my reaction was, thanks for the call, Bobby, and I moved on.
Mama, thanks for the call, Bobby. Mama always says you got to properly hydrate. H2O.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's right.
I failed to have fun with it.
Oh,
I froze. Okay, thanks for the call, Bobby.
Man.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bobby. Like he was named was really Bobby.
Robert, we appreciate the input and insight. Let's go to the next phone caller.
Okay, thanks for the call,
Bobby. How about that Odyssey app bringing us to Louisiana, huh?
Oh, all right. Man. Yeah, I got to say, not often on WFAN in New York do you hear somebody calling in from Louisiana to talk Yankees postgame.
Well, I saw it and I said, you know what? That's great. A DA listener probably hearing me. And I fell for the banana in the tailpipe and I didn't have fun with it. I froze.
So well, it definitely was a DA listener. I don't think that was a real Yankee fan who was locked into fan postgame. Be like, oh, yeah, you know what? Bobby Boucher's got a take on this. That was definitely a Mothership at the Movies fan.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's right.
And that was all he said? Like, he didn't
that
do
was it. In no, and out. That's,
no more
that,
Bobby Boucher?
That was one line, in and out. I don't know if Connor cut him or anything like that, but it was the one thing that bothered me was that afterwards, I didn't have fun with it. I just kept rolling on to the next stupid take about Brett Gardner. Okay, thanks for the call, Bob.
For a guy that lives by the coda, have fun with your marriage. Have fun with your dessert. You didn't have fun with your caller there.
I didn't. It's a terrible job. I've been beating myself up about it forever. It was a good Bobby Boucher, too. That's a good impersonation. And I failed to have fun with it.
Oh, man. You were wound up. That was a night that you thought was going to be this kind of like pinnacle of the career. And it just kept getting away from you. It was like the snowball kept rolling downhill and you couldn't catch it.
I don't know about a pinnacle career. It was definitely a bucket list night for me, and everything that went wrong could have kept going wrong. Now, in the end, I think I did a nice job, but it wasn't nearly what I had planned for because of rain delays and everything else. And then a Bobby Boucher gets thrown in there. And it's
to reset, Mraz was scheduled to be on for nearly 4 hours after the Yankees game on Saturday night. Supposed to be from 6 until 9:45. The Yankee game had a 2.5 hour rain delay and then went to 11 innings. They have specifically change the rules of baseball so that there isn't an 11th inning ever again. They've engineered baseball so that you never have to sit through a full 11 inning game. And yet Mraz got a 2.5 hour rain delay and an 11 inning game. And then finally got on and they were backed up with spots. And out of a 3-hour and 45-minute post game, he got a total of 80 minutes with 25 minutes of spots in it. So Mraz had all of these takes, all of these opinions and how to get them out. And then when he did, he couldn't even have fun with a Bobby from Louisiana. My mama always said, you got to probably hydrate.
Okay. It should be noted too.
Thanks for the call, Bobby.
I had another caller from a guy who just happened to be listening to the radio who said, "Hey, it's me, it's Joe from LA Fitness." A guy I met at the gym.
Was that a guy that you had worked out with?
Yeah, like this older guy that when we used to work nights, and he knew what I did for a living. I haven't talked to him in probably years. I'm not friends with him on social media. He just happens to be one of these diehard WFA listeners, and that's how he addressed myself. It's me. It's Joe from LA Fitness.
Hey, Sean, you're doing a good job. It's Joe, LA Fitness. What are you down to these days?
I used to spot for you.
Actually, Joe, I'm up 16 since the last time I saw you.
I acknowledge that. Maybe that should have made sound check. I did say I've gained the quarantine 15. I did. I had fun with that caller, not Bobby Boucher.
Sean, is quarantine good for you? I mean, you got a lot of off time, right? Not commuting into the city anymore? You working out a lot? No, Joe, I actually work out far less. You at least running? You walking? No, Joe, I actually don't leave my house.
I'll take your call off the air.
Yeah. I haven't seen you at LA Fitness in 7 years here, Sean. I still pay for membership, Joe, but I don't actually go anymore.
Yeah, just in case.
Your name's on the rolls. I actually checked the computer system the other day to say, where's that Sean guy that he used to work out with? He was doing so well. They told me you were still paying, but I thought you were dead. Nobody around LA Fitness has seen you in nearly a decade. How's that baseball Susan t-shirt fitting? A little tight around the moobs there this morning?
Oh, enjoy the rest of your 10-minute show.
Why didn't you have fun with that Bobby Boucher character? That was a good call.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's right.
Don't you see what he was doing? He was doing Bobby Boucher, you know, Waterboy stuff. You know, you can do it, that guy.
Bobby in Louisiana on the fan. Bobby, what's going on?
I also thought Uncut Gems was highly underrated. That Adam Sandler's got some chops. All right, Sean, we'll see you at LA Fitness. Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We got the Lakers still in that play-in 20 out west at the moment, but they were supposed to be farther from safety this morning.
Back to THT, flying down the middle right corner. Anthony Davis for three. Good again! Anthony Davis has found something, Michael.
Thompson, John Ireland, Lakers Radio. Davis, 42 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, and a 123-110 surprise of the Suns last night.
We're got that mindset where... control what we can control. Go out there and do what we do, play Lakers basketball, and let the rest take care of itself.
Most thought the Lakers would lose last night, fall farther from six, but the win leaves them just a game behind the Blazers. The Hornets winning in Charlotte without Zion and Brandon Ingram, 112-110. New Orleans a game and a half behind San Antonio for 10th in the West, and the Mavs took care of the Cavs, 124-97. Luka tossed just after halftime for hitting Colin Sexton in the groin as they battled for a rebound. Oral Roberts guard Max Asemus, who we met during the tourney, is declaring for the NBA draft, but maintaining his eligibility. Asemus is the number 48 prospect right now at CBSSports.com. Freddie Freeman, 3 hits, including a homer after starting the night in a 1-for-24 slump. His Braves beat the Phillies 6-1. They've won 5 of 6. In the afternoon, the Pirates snapped the Cubs' 5-game win streak, sinks 5 5. And the Red Sox won in Baltimore 4-3. Boston now 12-4 on the road. Go for a four-game sweep today. Mm. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit had too much of a pain-killing substance in its system in post-race testing. If the finding is upheld, the horse would lose the Derby win. Its owners would lose the $1.8 million purse. Trainer Bob Baffert is the hero the horse needs.
I'm going to bite it tooth and nails because this horse, you know, I owe it to the horse. I owe it to the owner. And I owe it to our industry.
In the meantime, Baffert suspended from Churchill horse. Downs. This is the fifth horse to test positive for something in the last year plus that he trains. The Preakness has not made a decision yet on Medina Spirit for Saturday's race. And yes, he owes it to the horse who has zero idea of what's going on right now.
Thanks, Bob.
Now, what happens to the Vegas gate on this? Because they
nothing that does not change. That's the only thing that's unaffected by this. They don't win. The purse never gets to them, but it does not change betting. If you won money on Medina Spirit, you keep it, and Mandaloon would be the winner if this changes, but you don't get anything if that happens. The betting is done. It's finished. It will not be changed by this.
Yeah, because you couldn't ask people that won money to come give it back to you and like send you a PayPal or something like that. Wow, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
To be stripped of
the NHL regular.
But you still get the money.
The NHL regular.
What's that horse's name? Medinas Williams?
It's named Bob from Louisiana.
Hang on. Bob in Louisiana wants to call Mraz on the Fan. Good take. You're right, Bob. They got to drop Gardner out of the leadoff hole.
Got to protect Zion better. The NHL regular season is kind of over, so it's time to fire head coaches. John Tortorella is out after 6 seasons in Columbus. Rick Tocchet is out after 4 seasons in Arizona. Sporting KC, a 2-1 win over Austin FC and MLS last night. And Rory McIlroy won for the first time since November 2019 in Shanghai, a one-shot victory at the Wells Fargo Championship. DA, back to you.
This is the only show where it will sound like the update anchor is doing it from a ranch, some type of doodle. So, Mraz sends
reading right now. What's going on?
It's me. Horses are
really intense.
We owe it to the horse to clear up his allergies.
Get that horse Claritin. Mraz sends along the topic list last night, and one of the topics in bold says, a member of the SiriusXM NHL radio team takes to Twitter to call out Peter Schwartz for being a fake journalist. And before I had mapped out anything else on the show, I said, that story's making the show. It's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for more fried foods at school?
I got a lot of meat on my bones.
Searching for an 8th foul bowl?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Mraz is our eyes and ears on the ground.
I read the newspaper daily.
It's meat on the bone.
Over the weekend, Schwartz posted a picture to his Twitter feed of him in an Islanders jersey, an Islanders hat, and an Islanders mask. And he posted it with a picture of a friend, well, I think it's a merchandise owner or something like that, outside of the stadium, outside of Barclays Center, I believe. Was it Barclays or was this in Long Island?
No, Nassau Coliseum.
Nassau Coliseum.
They don't play at Barclays anymore. And the guy was a guy who runs that deli that I predicted he'd get the free bagels from on Mother's Day, which I still haven't seen the picture.
When did the Dallas Stars change their uniform?
Yesterday. So you're okay on that.
So somebody responds to this Twitter, responds to this picture, and he's a reporter for SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, and says, this is a so-called journalist. Schwartz responds to this Twitter bomb and says, are you seriously going to get into a character debate with me? This guy says, yeah, I am. Schwartz then responds, you attack my character, I ask you what's your beef with me, and you crawl into your little hole with silence. What's your problem with me? Yeah, this is happening on Schwartz's Twitter feed. This guy says, do you, Mike, Howie, or any others in the business wear team apparel? Schwartz says, you'd have to ask them what they do on their own time. I'm a sports fan. When I go to games with my family, I'm a fan. So yeah, I do that. So this got intense. This guy went after him for wearing team gear. Now, Mraz is the anchor of Meat on the Bone. I didn't see this happening. Whew. Let me ask you, when you first saw this back and forth, what were you thinking over the weekend?
Well, I just shook my head and immediately started laughing. And then I tried to get into actual journalism mode and dissect the argument and see if I could give any benefit of the doubt to Pete here.
Yeah.
I think he's got some, but really, I'm always going to lean on, sorry, I'm going to side with the other guy calling you out because there's too much of a track record otherwise. Now, could Pete be allowed to be a fan and show up with his family? Absolutely. So this is my issue. This is the wrong tweet to specifically pick the fight with Pete about. But a fight needed to be picked nonetheless, so I'm still happy it got picked, if that makes any sense.
That's exactly right. He picked the wrong tweet to go after Schwartz's supposed journalistic integrity. There's 1,000 tweets where Schwartz has been unprofessional, total fanboy, taking pucks from practice, equipment from anybody that will give it to him, begging teams for credentials, all of that. All of that is fair game. But showing up to a game you're not working in your fan apparel is not being an unjournalist, if you will. I show up to a Mets game, I wear a Mets t-shirt. You show up to a Yankee or Giant game, you're wearing a jersey or whatnot. Okay, we're kind of fringe journalists anyway, but still, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not on the job. Schwartz wasn't on the job here, but Schwartz has done a million things unprofessionally when he has been on the job.
There's no doubt. And honestly, the biggest issue with the tweet, because this is Meat on the Bone, we dissect the tweet, is that Schwartz had the nerve to call this guy who owns this deli a good friend of his. And there is where I would call him out. Would he be a good friend if he didn't own an establishment that was handing you over food every time you tweet? Would that still be a good friend? Or are you using this man for your orange and blue bagels?
Oh.
That is where you pick a fight with the tweet.
Gotcha. I saw that this guy's handle was Blue Line 719, and I thought that was like some type of Islanders fan company or apparel company. In fact, it's Blue Line Deli and Bagels, and this is where Schwartz gets his free Islanders bagels from.
Yes. Now, there's also another backstory to this if we dig deep on the beat here, DA, and this would be this game that Schwartz appeared at that he was called out for being a journalist. He also had a couple follow-up tweets. His sons got on the Jumbotron at the Islander game. It was their first time back in an Islander game since the pandemic for his kids, and they end up on the Jumbotron?
Oh, come on.
Did he use his journalism credentials to make sure that them as fans got on there?
Yep.
And his one son ends up getting a free puck flipped to the crowd in this game. And he tweets, we're back at it again. So-and-so got a free puck. Again, did he use any kind of fake pull he has being a journalist while being there as a fan to get said free puck? So in the lineage of what went wrong for Pete at this Islander game, this was the wrong tweet to pick it. Although there is more backstory that I'm sure everybody who might have wanted to call him out saw, and this is where it went awry. There are so many facts here. Detectives on the case.
There's so much more to get into on this because you have some backstory on the reporter in question here that is challenging Schwartz's integrity. You've had some experience with him. So I also want to hear that backstory as well coming up after the break, because this is a story that deserves a lot of attention this morning here on the show. Also coming up after the break, Aaron Rodgers, of course, in this tiff with the Green Bay Packers, perhaps more than a tiff, is the NFL itself already preparing for life after Rodgers in Green Bay? If you read the tea leaves, I'll tell you about it coming up here on the DA Show next. And later on in the program, Adam Rank is going to join us from NFL Network. A ton to get to on a Monday morning, a manic Monday here aboard the mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.